It has advantages. It's a good step in regards to elements of improving cross-border trade, elements of reducing non-tariff barriers in terms of just the hassle of individuals having to access other African countries. It enhances people-to-people networking. So those human-to-human contacts are also very important. But it also brings its own challenges. So when we're thinking about issues of national security around international terror network, questions around crime, drug, and human trafficking syndicates will be helped when it's easier to travel across and between borders. But you also have broader questions around challenges of non-reciprocity. Because there's the assumption, for example, that if Kenya has a visa-free policy or Rwanda has a visa-free policy, that other countries will also reciprocate. So there's a problem if the other countries are not reciprocating in terms of thinking about these visa-free networks across the continent.
Regional blocs have tried this in the past, and it has not quite worked. Even the South African community tried this, and they talked about integration, allowing their people to move across borders. They have been having issues. Do you think this time it will rework?
I think it really depends, because when you talk about the regionalism, regional integration, you know, is a lot better in some contexts, for example, in ECOWAS in West Africa than, for example, within Central Africa. The dynamic is also very much in the detail, right? So if you're thinking with the regional integration, what are the details of access to different constituencies in different countries? So let's take the example of the East African community. Yes, there's common set protocols and there's the understanding of visa-free travel, but there's also a lot of non-tariff barriers around trade, for example, between Kenya and Tanzania. There's still a lot of taxes on tariffs on goods and services from each country against the other. There's domestic constituencies that don't want to see business flowing either one way or the other. We have regional rivalries, of course. Again, Kenya-Tanzania is another good example, or Kenya-Ethiopia, or say between Nigeria and Ghana. We have those regional rivalries. So even though a government signed these protocols, I think the details are really in terms of the detail. To what extent do these programs actually make sense when specifically you're thinking about improving trade? And I talked about this cross-border trade. Or even when we think about the broader issue of the high cost of airline traffic between different African countries. That's another element of this visa-free dynamic, right? How do we reduce the cost of tickets by not having the cost of visas, but also reducing a lot of these bureaucratic hurdles, where some African countries are on board with, for example, the Yamoussoukro Open Skies Accord for Africa, but other countries which want to protect their domestic airlines are not. There's a big gap between the rhetoric of regional integration and the actual practice. And we see that in terms of business, in terms of trade, but also in terms of transfer of skills of professionals between one country and another.
There are some who have said that African countries are trying to copy the European Union model. That would be good, but don't you think it would be better if it had been at the AU level, so that the whole continent is harmonized?
Yes, there's both positives and negatives to that. So if your neighbor has already made a car, you don't need to remake what has already been done. You can just copy what your neighbor has already done and improve on it, right? So I'm thinking of example about the context of, say, Africa and Europe in terms of the EU and the African Union. But I think that there is a valid criticism, particularly in terms of directly copying the European model, from the obvious perspective that the European integration model is very different in terms of context, in terms of history, in terms of bureaucracy from the African context. Our bureaucracies are different. Our histories are different. The formation of states in Europe and Africa is also different. But more importantly, and I think this is something you alluded to, is this question about top-down versus bottom-up. And a lot of the integration in Africa really happens at the heads of summit meetings, where you have very ceremonial, diplomatic protocol around heads of states meeting in Addis Ababa and making these broad declarations around African unity and Pan-Africanism. But really, integration is a lot more than presidents signing agreements at the highest levels.